Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. This is Democracy Now!
I told Pete we should use some of these dangerous cities as training grounds for our military, National Guard, but military. Because we're going into Chicago, where that's a big city with an incompetent governor, stupid.
President Trump addressing an unprecedented gathering of hundreds of U.S. generals and admirals will get response from Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson.
It is dangerous, absolute dangerous, and he's a threat to our democracy and our humanity.
Then a Reagan-appointed judge has issued a scathing ruling rebuking the Trump administration's targeting of pro-Palestinian students.
Well, it's a historic ruling and really a scathing critique of the Trump administration for intentionally violating the First Amendment by targeting pro-Palestinian protesters for arrest and deportation. And it made clear what hopefully should have been obvious before, which is that if free speech means anything, it means that masked agents shouldn't be picking up political protesters for their speech and throwing them in jail.
We'll speak to the Knight First Amendment Institute at Columbia University, which argued the case, as well as the head of the AAUP, the American Association of University Professors, and former Columbia University student protest activist Mahmoud Khalil, who was detained for 104 days. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israel continues to bomb Gaza, killing 51 Palestinians in 24 hours. Two missiles struck a Falah school in Gaza City, which had been converted into a shelter for hundreds of displaced people. The Turkish broadcaster TRT confirmed a Palestinian freelance photographer, Yahya Barzak, was killed by Israel in Deir al-Balah in central Gaza yesterday. Palestinians gathered at Al-Aqsa Hospital in Deir al-Balah, mourning their loved ones killed in Israeli strikes. This is Atef Abu Jarad, a displaced Palestinian man from Beit Lahia.
We came here after the violence and total destruction in Beit Lahia. We've been informed by the Israeli army to head to safe places in these areas, specifically in Deir al-Balah. But unfortunately, the Israeli war machine refuses to do anything but bombard very innocent lives that have nothing to do, near or far, with any type of weapon or resistance. Unfortunately, I speak with complete clarity that there is no safe place in the Gaza Strip.
Meanwhile, the global Samud flotilla says its fleet has sailed into the high-risk zone and is about 118 nautical miles from Gaza. Spain and Italy have sent ships to sail with the flotilla to ensure its passage, but Italy said it would stop tracking the flotilla as of yesterday. David Adler of Progressive International, one of the activists who's on the flotilla, posted on X his final letter, he called it, writing, quote, "Last night, several Israeli naval ships menaced our convoy. They attacked our vessels, intimidated our crew, and disabled our communications. We recognize these tactics from previous flotilla missions. We know that they are the precursor to what we have long feared, illegal Israeli abduction in international waters," Adler wrote. Speaking to reporters yesterday, President Trump said he's giving Hamas 3 or 4 days to respond to a ceasefire deal to end Israel's war on Gaza and warned that the group will, quote, pay in hell, unquote, if it rejects his proposal. Meanwhile, Axios is reporting that Egypt and Turkey are urging Hamas to accept the ceasefire deal. Qatari Prime Minister Mohammed bin Abdurrahman Al Thani and Egyptian intelligence chief Hassan Rashad reportedly met with Hamas leaders in Doha Tuesday, along with the Turkish intelligence director, Ibrahim Kalin. Meanwhile, in Israel, parents of soldiers marched alongside the relatives of hostages Tuesday in Tel Aviv, calling for the end to the war on Gaza. The protesters march with a banner urging President Donald Trump to make it happen. Here's Elat Feller Memon, the mother of an Israeli soldier.
We stand here with the mothers of the hostages because the mothers of Israel are as one. We stand with them until everybody are at home. The soldiers, the civilians, everybody. We want to end this war. We want our children back home.
A federal judge in Boston has ruled the Trump administration unlawfully targeted non-citizens for their pro-Palestinian activism by threatening to deport them. The judge called the case, quote, perhaps the most important ever to fall within the jurisdiction of this district court. Judge William Young, who was appointed by Ronald Reagan, wrote in his 161-page opinion that the case, quote, squarely presents the issue whether non-citizens lawfully present here in present here in the United States actually have the same free speech rights as the rest of us. The court answers this constitutional question unequivocally. Yes, they do, he wrote. Judge Young also blasted ICE in his ruling, saying, quote, ICE goes masked for a single reason, to terrorize Americans into quiescence. In all our history, we have never tolerated an armed, masked, secret police, Judge Young wrote. The Knight First Amendment Institute represented the American Association of University Professors and the Middle East Studies Association in the case and argued that the government's targeting of Mahmoud Khalil, Rumeysa Ozturk, Mohsen Madawi, Badar Khansouri, and Yunseo Chung suppressed speech on college campuses. Separately, a panel of judges heard arguments yesterday from lawyers representing Rumeysa Ozturk and Mohsen Madawi. We'll hear more from Mahmoud Khalil later in the broadcast. In an unprecedented and highly unusual gathering, President Trump and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth addressed 800 top military generals and admirals flown in from around the world for the meeting in Quantico, Virginia. Hegseth blasted woke policies and diversity initiatives.
For too long, we've promoted too many uniformed leaders for the wrong reasons, based on their race, based on gender quotas, based on historic so-called firsts. Frankly, it's tiring to look out at combat formations, or really any formation, and see fat troops. Likewise, it's completely unacceptable to see fat generals and admirals in the halls of the Pentagon and leading commands around the country and the world. It's a bad look.
Meanwhile, President Trump defended his policy of deploying troops to U.S. cities and suggested to the officers gathered they should view the domestic deployments as a training exercise.
From within. No different than a foreign enemy, but more difficult in many ways because they don't wear uniforms. At least when they're wearing a uniform, you can take them out. These people don't have uniforms. But we are under invasion from within. We're stopping it very quickly.
Democratic Senator Jack Reed, who serves on the Senate Armed Services Committee, called the meeting, quote, an expensive, dangerous dereliction of leadership by President Trump. We'll have more on this story later in the broadcast. The U.S. government shut down as of today after Democrats in Congress refused to support a Republican funding bill that did not include concessions on health care. It's the first shutdown in 7 years, the last time the government shut down for 35 days during President Trump's first term. Democratic Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries blamed Republicans, saying in a joint statement, quote, after months of making life harder and more expensive, Donald Trump and Republicans have now shut down the federal government because they do not want to protect the health care of the American people, unquote. President Trump's threatened mass firings of federal workers in the event of a shutdown. Here's Randy Irwin, president of the National Federation of Federal Employees.
You know, we're going to be over 300,000 federal employees will have been lost after today since the start of this Trump administration. And we don't know what our functionality of government looks like with that level of staff, because the size of the federal workforce has been almost entirely flat for the last 60 years.
In New York, a journalist was hospitalized after masked federal agents assaulted a group of reporters documenting ICE arrests outside immigration court at 26 Federal Plaza in downtown Manhattan. Video footage of Tuesday's attack shows AM New York's journalist Dean Moses attempting to enter an elevator where masked agents had followed two women when he was shoved out with an agent shouting, "Get out of the inking elevator." Olga Fedorova, who freelances for the Associated Press, was pushed, knocking her down, as well as Viral Ilibal of the Turkish news agency Anadolu, who seriously injured his head after he hit the floor. DHS spokesperson Tricia McLaughlin defended the agent's actions, claiming the reporters had obstructed operations. This comes as the Trump administration's escalating its attacks on journalists documenting mass immigration raids nationwide. In Chicago, an investigation was launched after a local journalist was assaulted by federal immigration agents while covering protests outside an ICE jail in Broadview Sunday. A masked agent shot a pepper ball at CBS Chicago reporter Asal Rozier. She described the attack on social media, saying, quote, "An ICE agent took a direct shot at my car today, absolutely unprovoked. My window was open and chemicals went all over my face. Been puking for 2 hours," she said. We'll speak with Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson after headlines. As immigration raids continue across the country, federal authorities swarmed Chicago Tuesday morning for a major operation in which neighbors were awoken by the sound of Black Hawk helicopters swarming the sky. Some 300 federal agents descended onto an apartment complex where they arrested at least 30 people who were allegedly undocumented. A Mexican immigrant has died after he was wounded in the sniper attack on an ICE facility in Dallas, Texas last week. Miguel Angel Garcia Hernandez is the second person to die. Norlan Guzman Fuentes, a 37-year-old immigrant from El Salvador, was also killed in that attack. Native American leaders are condemning a move by the Pentagon to preserve 20 medals of honor awarded to soldiers involved in the 1890 Battle of Wounded Knee massacre. On December 29th, 1890, the U.S. Army killed as many as 300 Oglala Lakota people at Wounded Knee, including many women and children. In a statement, National Congress of American Indians Executive Director Larry Wright Jr. said, quote, "Celebrating war crimes is not patriotic. This decision undermines truth-telling, reconciliation, and the healing that Indian country and the United States still need," he said. In the Philippines, at least 69 people have been confirmed dead after a 6.9 magnitude earthquake jolted the province of Cebu on Tuesday night. More than 150 others have been reported injured. The quake was followed by a series of aftershocks and comes just days after a super typhoon battered small islands in central Philippines, forcing some 400,000 people to evacuate. And this year's Right Livelihood Awards have been announced in Stockholm today. A student-led group from the Pacific Islands and human rights lawyer from Guam, Julian Aguan, were jointly recognized for taking their fight against climate change to the International Court of Justice, which found earlier this year polluting countries, primarily from the global north, are legally obligated to address global warming. Other winners include the Sudanese group Emergency Response Rooms, the group Justice for Myanmar, and the Taiwanese activist Audrey Tang. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
President Trump addressed an unprecedented gathering of 800 U.S. generals and admirals on Tuesday at a meeting at Marine Corps Base Quantico that was organized by Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, who had the admirals and generals flown in from around the world. President Trump urged the military to use cities as training grounds, claiming the U.S. is under invasion from within.
The ones that are run by the radical left Democrats, what they've done to San Francisco, Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, they're very unsafe places, and we're going to straighten them out one by one. And this is going to be a major part for some of the people in this room. That's a war, too. It's a war from within. I told Pete, we should use some of these dangerous cities as training grounds for our military, National Guard, but military. Because we're going into Chicago very soon. That's a big city with an incompetent governor. Stupid governor. Stupid.
Trump's comments about Chicago come after he has repeatedly threatened to send National Guard troops to the city for weeks. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker warned he would sue to stop their deployment. Armed federal agents with ICE, the FBI, and Border Patrol have already arrested hundreds in Chicago as part of Operation Midway Blitz. Dozens of agents in military fatigues roamed downtown Chicago over the weekend, and on Tuesday, some 300 agents emerged from box trucks and rappelled from a Black Hawk helicopter for an apartment complex raid that led to the arrest of about 30 undocumented people. Meanwhile, five people are facing federal felony charges stemming from protests at the ICE detention facility in Broadview. This is 70-year-old Air Force veteran Dana Briggs, who says an ICE agent pushed him to the ground Saturday when he tried to hand his cell phone to another protester. Briggs was accused of swinging his arm at the agent and is charged with felony assault on a federal officer. He spoke to CBS News Chicago.
Because it didn't give me time to move. All I saw was a hand coming at me after I had handed my phone off. I'm just, I guess, more appalled than anything else that they're just going after ordinary, everyday people. Did we say some things that they probably didn't like? Yeah, fine, but free speech.
For more, we go to Chicago, where we're joined by the mayor, Brandon Johnson. Mayor Brandon Johnson, welcome back to Democracy Now! If you can respond to Trump's comments about Chicago, that your city, among others, will be the training guard for the military in this country, training ground.
Yeah, he's absolutely wrong, you know, about, you know, his characterization, you know, of our city. It is absolutely absurd and appalling that the president of the United States of America would describe the city of Chicago or American cities as enemies from within. This is unconscionable. It's reckless. It's dangerous. And that's why we are forcefully fighting back to defend our democracy and to protect the humanity of every single resident across our city.
And Mayor, could you comment on these latest actions in Chicago over the weekend? ICE agents parading down through the downtown area, detaining people in a show of force. And then, of course, this raid that happened on Tuesday.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, listen, you know, Trump's deportation campaign, it's not for safety. It's for profit. This is yet another example of how this president is militarizing forces, ultimately with the goal to occupy cities. It's why we have vehemently pushed back, you know, against this operation. And in no way are we calling for the militarization or the occupation of our cities. What we saw, not just downtown Chicago, where Chicagoans, visitors from around the country and around the world were enjoying a peaceful, beautiful day in Chicago, and this political stunt was carried out, you know, by an unhinged, deranged president. What we saw just a couple of nights ago on the south side of Chicago, where we had masked men destroy property, barge into people's homes in the middle of the night, sticking long guns in the faces of Black residents. This is an affront on our democracy, and it is further demonstration and a further display of how this president is carrying out, you know, what Dr. King described as one of the three evils. The militarization of our country is an evil, and as workers and as working class people around this country, we have to push back and, you know, put forth a real cure to this unconscionable evil that is undisplayed by the president of the United States.
And Mayor, you recently signed an unusual executive order on the right to protest, where you mentioned that Chicago police can collaborate with protest organizers to develop a mutually acceptable alternative plan. Could you talk about that?
I can. So I signed two of the most sweeping executive orders anywhere in the country by a city. And this particular executive order ensures the First Amendment will be protected. What we are seeing in cities across America and, quite frankly, around the globe, where peaceful protesters are being shot at and targeted by government in the village of Broadview, just outside of the city of Chicago, where we had ICE agents shooting pepper balls at protesters. Even shooting, you know, at a reporter that was there just to do her job. We know that this is an attempt of the president to set up a pretext to sending in the National Guard. And so this executive order ensures that our local police department will work in coordination with protesters and residents who wish to exercise their First Amendment right, and that the federal government cannot interfere with the First Amendment.
I mean, this is an amazing scene, Mayor Brandon Johnson, that happened in the last few days. You have agents rappelling from a Black Hawk helicopter, these masked agents also emerging from box trucks. As you said, the CBS reporter being having a pepper ball blown into her face as she sat in an open window in a car. In California, they've passed a law and the governor signed it, the No Secret Police Act. It's not quite in effect yet, but it's forbidding masked agents. The federal government, the Trump administration, says they're not going to abide by it. But is Illinois going to pass a similar law? And I mean, this is exactly what Trump is describing to this unprecedented gathering of 800 generals, many of whom didn't even want to come in from around the world, saying you're the training ground.
Yeah, to characterize our cities, not just Chicago, but cities around America, as training ground for the military is just absolutely reprehensible. You know, the brave women and men who sign up to serve and protect this nation, here and abroad, they don't sign up to come and terrorize their neighbors. And in fact, I put forth an executive order to this point to ensure that our police officers will be in uniform, their badges, their IDs, their names, everything on full display. We urge the federal agents to do the same. You know, it's unfortunate, though, that this president is, you know, committed to disrupting what's sensible about our democracy. And you are absolutely right. You know, the secrecy and the hyper militarization of this $170 billion blank check that the president has turned over to Tom Homan, who took a $50,000 bribe to direct contracts to these detention centers, these corporations of which many of them have contributed millions of dollars to Donald Trump's campaign. So again, this clearly, his deportation or so-called deportation campaign is not about safety. It's about profit.
And Mayor, President Trump, in threatening to call the federal troops into Chicago and other cities, has claimed that these Democratic-controlled cities are hellholes of lawlessness. Could you set the record straight on what the situation is in your city?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, the city of Chicago, we are truly the greatest city in the world. You know, from 20% of the world's fresh water in our front yard between Lake Michigan and the St. Lawrence River. You know, we have one of the most diverse economies in the world, where not one industry comprises of more than 20% of our overall GDP. You know, our airports, and particularly O'Hare, we set and break records every single day. You know, we have some of the top universities anywhere in the world, the top labor force. You know, in fact, with the development that's happening in Chicago right now, you know, we're talking about $20 billion of new revenue coming into our region from tourism. You know, it's a place where, you know, as I said, you know, a Black Haitian immigrant and a Potawatomi woman fell in love and established the trade post right at the bank of the river. And it's truly the love story of America. And not only have we demonstrated that we are the global capital of the world, with the investments that we are making, we're seeing unprecedented levels of violence reduction in our city. Homicides are down 30%. Shootings and shooting victims are down 35%. There's more work to be done, but we are truly building the safest, most affordable big city in America. In fact, Condé Nast rated us the best big city in America 8 years in a row, 13 years consecutively as the number one relocator for corporate headquarters. And so we have a great workforce, a great university system, a diverse economy, and of course, most of all, we have amazing people in our city.
Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, we thank you very much for being with us. Former teacher and organizer with the Chicago Teachers Union, speaking to us from one city, Chicago. Coming up, we talk to an expert on military law who warns Trump and Hegseth want to turn the military into a tool of personal loyalty. Back in 20 seconds.
Stand behind his drunken amp. Stand behind his light of love. Hear him yowl his bloody tongue. Hear him yellow blood and war. Do you believe in his sweet sensation? Do you believe in second chance? Do you believe in Rapture Bay?
Do you believe in Rapture by Thurston Moore, performing at Smith College in 2005? This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. As we continue to look at Tuesday's unprecedented gathering of 800 U.S. generals and admirals, who were flown into the United States from around the world and gathered at Marine Corps Base Quantico, Virginia. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth called the meeting and ordered generals and admirals to gather together for what many have likened to a MAGA campaign rally. President Trump addressed the generals for over 70 minutes, but Hegseth spoke first.
We are preparing. Every day, we have to be prepared for war, not for defense. We're training warriors, not defenders. We fight wars to win, not to defend. Defense is something you do all the time. It's inherently reactionary and can lead to overuse, overreach, and mission creep. War is something you do sparingly, on our own terms, and with clear aims. We fight to win. Well, today is another Liberation Day. The liberation of America's warriors, in name, in deed, and in authorities. You kill people and break things for a living. You are not politically correct and don't necessarily belong always in polite society.
President Trump claimed the United States facing an invasion from within.
Only in recent decades did politicians somehow come to believe that our job is to police the far reaches of Kenya and Somalia. While America is under invasion from within, we're under invasion from within. No different than a foreign enemy, but more difficult in many ways because they don't wear uniforms. At least when they're wearing a uniform, you can take them out. These people don't have uniforms. But we are under invasion from within. We're stopping it very quickly. After spending trillions of dollars defending the borders of foreign countries, with your help, we're defending the borders of our country from now on.
We're joined now by Eugene Fidel, senior research scholar at Yale Law School, where he teaches military justice. He co-wrote a piece for The Hill headlined, Trump and Hegseth want to turn the military into a tool of personal loyalty. He's an expert on military law, served as a judge advocate in the U.S. Coast Guard. Eugene Fidel, thanks for joining us. Explain what you mean as people describe this unprecedented gathering